Okay, I'll call the meeting to order. It is now 1:31 in the afternoon on the 18th of September 2024. And time for today's Board of Commissioners hearing regarding request by Joe Rumsey for case number SD2022-0024. My name is Brad Holton, and joining me today are Commissioners Leslie Van Beek and Zach Brooks. Also present is Deb Root and Carl Anderson from DSD. The staff report and any additional exhibits have been posted on the county website on the land use hearing page. You may wish to open those documents if you haven't already done so. So, for conflict of interest, before we begin taking testimony, is there any member of the board who, for reasons of conflict of interest, requests to be excused from participating in this item?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
No, Mr. Chairman.
And no for myself. Are there any declarations pertaining to this request of meetings, such as site reviews or conversations outside of this hearing?
Thank you, Chairman. No.
No, Mr. Chairman.
And no for myself. So is it okay with the commission if I abbreviate the testimony guidelines for today?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So as chairman of the board, I will maintain order by restricting inappropriate discussion or disorderly conduct. At this time, I'll explain to you the procedures we must follow under Canyon County Code of Ordinances 070503 regarding testimony. The applicant who has requested the hearing or the representatives will testify first, since the applicant has the burden of proof. Testimony for those in favor of the applicant will be followed by witnesses who have signed to testify for either neutral and or in opposition. The applicant or their representative will be allowed 10 minutes for their presentation, and there will be also time given for any others. So it looks like there's just one and one. So the opposition will have 3 minutes of non-repetitive testimony. And then that will be followed up by the applicant's time period of a rebuttal, which would be limited to 5 minutes. If there is complex or unusual circumstances in the testimony, we will go for longer so the board can have their questions answered. If you refer to an exhibit or a computer projection, use specific verbal descriptions such as exhibit number, location, or direction so that a transcript can be made for review if necessary. So we are ready for the oath of affirmation.
Carl Anderson, Debbie Root, Joe Rumsey, Terrell McHenry, do you swear or affirm the testimony you give me the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
All right. So we'll begin now by taking evidence by calling development service staff to present the staff summary and any late exhibits.
Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. Today we are here to consider a preliminary plat application for Hornet Cove Subdivision, case file SD2022-0024. The Hornet Cove subdivision property is zoned rural residential. It's 16 plus acres. The average lot size for the proposed development is 2.08 acres with proposed gravity irrigation, a proposed private road with access from Monarch Road in Butterfly Ridge subdivision, which is a public road. And then Black Canyon Irrigation provides the irrigation water. And there is a lateral that crosses this property, requiring crossing agreements for proposed lot 5 and at the access point to Monarch Road. There's also a crossing that. There is a crossing agreement for that crossing, but not for lot 5 currently. The Notice Parma Highway District has approved the access location. Yellow Jacket Lane is proposed to be a private gravel road. 7 lots have entitlements for 14 total residences under the current zoning code. and exceeding the potential 100 average daily trips. So the private road and driveway code actually states trip generation per dwelling is 9.52 trips per day. Trip generation, ninth edition. Rates for single family detached housing. Total ADT for a private road is the total daily trips for the total dwellings entitled on properties using any segment of a private road. This property is zoned rural residential. It's a straight rezone, no conditional rezone. There were no restrictions on secondary residences. Therefore, the current lot configuration could potentially end up with 14 houses in the development. Staff recommended that the road be paved for that reason. The Planning and Zoning Commission forwarded that recommendation. The applicant has since proposed deed restrictions and or a final plat note as paving of the road is a barrier to development for him. So that's a consideration. He can speak to that further and should. Currently, the FCOs, the recommended FCOs, require paving of the road for the development. The county engineer indicated that the drainage plan for the roadside swales should provide for erosion control details with rock dams as part of measure to slow velocities, as this is on a sloped area. At the time, Devin Krasowski was the reviewer and indicated that the construction drawings would need to be reviewed for adequate drainage design and that for all of the lots and for the roadside swales and things. So, as indicated before, crossing agreement is required for lot 5. At the time the Planning and Zoning Commission considered this application, the lateral easement was not properly located on the preliminary plat. It has the applicant and surveyor and Black Canyon Irrigation District has worked together for the last probably 6 months to locate that appropriately and update the plat, preliminary plat, to show that appropriate location. Black Canyon has provided a letter indicating, you know, the things that still need to be complied with, but the plat is essentially compliant with the road being relocated off of the easement and the easement being properly located, which was also a condition of approval from the Planning and Zoning Commission as we move that forward. There is an irrigation plan in the application documents or submittal documents. A challenge with this particular irrigation plan is that it is in open ditches running to supply and drain both sides of the road for that. It's going to require that there be a 2-culvert access to every lot to contain the stormwater drainage and one for irrigation, either drainage or supply. So conditions have been placed to identify that as well. The plat as presented is in substantial conformance with the requirements of the preliminary plat submittals. There are many things that need to be addressed during the construction drawing phase, which is typical as well for both the irrigation plan, the roadside, and that. Again, paving of the road will change some of that look, so that's to be considered and conditioned as the board sees fit.
Okay.
As indicated, the Planning and Zoning Commission forwarded this case with a recommendation of approval. We discussed the few things that are of concern currently. And the plat, as presented, is in substantial compliance with the Idaho Code sections, the irrigation, and with Canyon County subdivision regulations. And I'll stand for questions.
Chairman?
Yes.
So I have maybe a few questions. When you were talking about the irrigation component, you, I thought, indicated that there were several items, but I didn't hear you detail those that still needed to be completed for that. Did I hear that incorrectly?
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, the irrigation plan as presented, it meets the code requirements. It's not required to be a pressurized irrigation because the lots are greater than 1 acre in size. So it can be open ditch surface gravity irrigation. But the challenges with it are that they're in an open ditch and running the drainage on the east side of the road is in an open ditch running along the road separate from the roadside swales. And the supply for the lots on the west side of the road are in an open ditch on the west side of the road. So it's just a challenge access-wise to ensure that property owners put into culvert accesses that meet fire district requirements and don't allow for stormwater and irrigation to commingle.
Do those ditches flow year-round?
No.
Okay. When we're talking about the road, there was language in here. I understand Planning and Zoning, the recommendation was to have it paved, and it would meet the minimum standard. Does the minimum standard for the county, I'm just asking because I don't know, meet the fire code requirement that it be able to handle 75,000. I'm looking at exhibit one, which is the, I'm sorry, that's the wrong exhibit number. It's the Middleton Fire District recommendation. So that would be exhibit G, page one and two. Does the minimum requirement meet the fire code's requirement for fire apparatus weighing at least 75,000 pounds?
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, the minimum code requirements, the Canyon County code requirements for a private road would meet the Middleton Fire District requirements for the private road. Each property owner would have to provide for an access, probably a double culvert at this point, to any homes or structures that are built within the development. So again, they would still, and they would have to meet those requirements. That building permit, the fire district would sign off on the building permit portion of that. So yes, their access would have to meet the fire district requirements and the private road requirements, if built to county requirements, would meet the requirements, whether paved or a gravel surface.
Okay. And the Monarch Road, that is the access point for this subdivision, that's a public road.
It is.
So the proposal, so that's managed by Highway District 4?
Notice
Parma. Okay. So if this subdivision is ever incorporated, the way that it's proposed, it would be outside of maintenance by the Notice Parma Highway District. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay. And then did the applicant, given that there is currently not a prohibition, he's got a quit claim deed that says that only one, but you could go back and petition if there's development that encroaches that we would want to subdivide that further. Was there a proposed plan for, is it a shared driveway that would be then, or do we know what that would look like? So, and my question, Chairman, is really on the long-range planning. And so if this is really what they want is a 14-lot subdivision, I'm...
Commissioner Van Beek, no. They're proposing a 7-lot subdivision in accordance with a rural residential zoning
mm-hmm.
applicable to the property right now. Our current code provides for a single-family residence and a secondary residence in compliance with the standards for a secondary residence, which means two, it could, so all entitlements, right? It could, there could be 14 residents developed on 7 lots.
There, thank you. I didn't say that correctly. I appreciate the clarification. But with that, it trips that 100 daily trips.
Yes, after 10.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Is Monarch paved?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
Do you have any questions?
Not right now, Mr. Chair.
All righty. If there isn't any, are we ready for the applicant's presentation? All right. Joe, you want to come forward and have a chair here in front of the microphone? And then when you get seated, to state your name and your address.
Right. Okay.
Where you live, and we'll give you 10 minutes to share with us your thoughts.
My name is Joe Rumsey, and my address is 75 South Kings Road, Nampa.
It's on the presentation.
Okay. I don't have a lot to say other than what Mr. Root said already, but the road is a kind of a breaking point for this whole situation, and that's why we've signed a deed restriction so that only have seven residences on this land, which kept us below the paving, you know, the having asphalt. We have a gravel road by county ordinance. And so, but there, because of that, the deed restriction should stop that, but apparently some people can think they can build a second residence on there, although we filed it with the recorder's office and it should be accepted that way as law. Apparently, they think they can get around it. So what our proposal was that for anybody that wants a secondary resident, they have to pave the road ahead of them and beyond their driveway by the width of the road, i.e. of the 20-foot road would be a 20-foot beyond their turn-in. So if anybody wants to do that, I guess we can't really stop them, but they're going to have to pay for the paving, because for us to do it on 7 lots and make it, you know, kind of a nice place and room for everybody to have a couple cows and a sheep or whatever, we can't have in two residences per lot. Besides, back to what Commissioner Van Beek was asking about, where in the world are they going to put the second wells and sewers and stuff? We're going to get into drain fields and stuff. It's just a can of worms that we don't want to deal with. So it's a poor piece of land that can't be farmed and it won't take, you know, irrigate very well. And so the only thing we could really do with it is build houses on it. So that's kind of where we're at. We've been messing with this thing for quite a while, and we've had a lot of problems with the locating of laterals and things that Black Canyon didn't have recorded or filed, but we've all got that straightened out now and got our crossing agreement on one road. They're waiting for the final plat for the crossing agreement of the other road, of the other lot. So I could probably be of more value if I could answer some questions for you, maybe.
Mr. Chairman.
Justifying on something you probably already know.
Yes.
So I don't know who to ask this of, because this is kind of the first time I've seen one of these come where secondary or accessory dwellings were not just explicitly out of the gate rejected. So I'm kind of curious, based on your testimony right now, you're saying your intent is to only have 7 lots with 7 residences, but yet the extra is apparently still allowed at this point if we were to approve as is. So how does it get to this point if the applicant only wants one resident per lot?
Oh, yeah, we're very adamant about the one residence per lot, but 20 years from now, the county code doesn't change, that somebody potentially could build another house in, and that's what we're facing. So with that being the case, we could put it into CC&Rs that they have to pave the road. If they decide to do so, they're going to gainfully, financially gain money by obviously selling a lot. They can put some of that toward paving the road to their driveway.
Chairman, Commissioner, the challenge here is that when we took the application forward to the Planning and Zoning Commission, there was no deed restriction, and the rural residential zoning provides for secondary residences on parcels that can meet the requirements of the code and the other agencies and things. Therefore, staff required compliance with the private road and driveway code, which says if it exceeds the entitlements, and we recommended paving to the Planning and Zoning Commission. Planning and Zoning Commission upheld that recommendation. They continued that recommendation forward. Now, there was discussion. There was discussion about can't we not require paving by putting a final plat note on or by deed restrictions. Mr. Rumsey recorded the deed restrictions after the planning and zoning hearing, which is fine. But at that point, the recommendation comes forward as the Planning and Zoning sent it forward to you. And the discussion is for this hearing body to determine if they want to place restrictions on the development. So indicating that the deed restriction is sufficient to only have 7 homes there. The challenge and what was discussed with the Planning and Zoning Commission is that a deed restriction and or a final plat note, although both of them are very legal from a standpoint of restricting that development, they're also difficult for staff, permit technicians, to catch those or enforce those, you know, easily missed. So the question is to the board, you know, you want to place restriction and hold on restrictions, which is the same thing as if it had been a conditional rezone and the hearing bodies restricted the secondary dwellings at that time. We just don't have a development agreement in place to place that condition. So it can be a final plat note, it can be deed restrictions, it can be in the CC&Rs. CC&Rs are tricky because homeowners groups disband all the time or don't enforce and those kind of things. So so totally up to this board whether or not. And the other option is just to say, you know, when the development exceeds 1,000 average daily trips, that the road has to be paved, or if whatever the code is at the time, you know, that the final plat comes in, may also change this. Was that not helpful?
No, it was helpful. Thank you.
There's one other thing I wanted to add about this lot splitting. This kind of subdivision is congruent with another subdivision on the other side of Monarch, which is Butterfly Ridge. It's just on the other side of the pavement there. It goes right to the pavement. And there, those lots are all 2-acre plus size lots, 1.5 acres to up to 3 acres. And it kind of flowed good together, so we kind of wanted to keep it that way too.
Would you be amenable to having a developer's agreement on this?
I'm afraid I don't know what that is, Commissioner.
It's a contract of agreement between the county and the land. And that could be a stronger legal vehicle to close the door for accessory dwelling units or lot divisions in the future.
Yes, I'd be willing to
consider that.
Consider that, you bet.
Okay.
That, let me, to clarify, to be clear, that is an agreement like our deed restriction between the county, between me and the commission.
It goes to the ground. It goes with the land. The county, this board would make a contractual agreement with that through a developer's agreement, what specific restrictions or details that we want called out. It's way easier for DSD staff in the future to be aware of a developer's agreement than they are on some note down somewhere on a final plat.
Chairman?
Yes.
There is a question whether or not, under our current code, because the development agreement is tied to a conditional rezone in our ordinance, we may not be able to create a separate development agreement. You may want to ask legal about that.
Okay.
Before we get down that
road. Down that road. All right. Fair enough.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
So this was a straight rezone?
Yes.
Back in 2020. And that development agreement is, but the instrument of a development agreement is only attached to a conditional rezone, not a straight rezone in our ordinance?
Yes. It's being worked on.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, if I may. So the request before you is for a subdivision that already has its entitlements. So the rezone was a straight rezone, which has been actioned upon. So the property is entitled for request. As Deb kind of laid out a little bit on the history, that's kind of why staff was recommending that the property be, or the road be paved at the time of that plat, because it was entitled for up to that secondary residence. On pages 1 and 2 of the staff report, that last paragraph on page 1 kind of outlines some options as alternatives to the road paving. It could be deed restricted. It could be a plat note. Should the commission decide to go the route of the plat note, it might consider something like what I would refer to as an R restriction, which actually is on the face of the plat on each lot, ties to the note, so it guides staff's eyes as they're reviewing permit. They see that there's an R1, for example. They go and look at the note, and they identify the note that way. Those are some options. Or, as Deb indicated, it could also be not restricted further, and at the time it meets 180T or the code in place at that time. I don't believe that's what staff would be recommending at this time, but we're trying to provide the commission with some options on how to best handle that. So should the commission wish to go the route of a plat note, we'd probably be recommending something like an R restriction as well as a deed restriction to kind of give us that double check to make sure we're getting that.
Okay, I have a couple of questions. Are you followed that to where you want it to go?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, thanks.
Okay. So, you are opposed to the paving of the road, even though it has a 10% grade on this?
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be cost prohibitive. I don't think we could go ahead further with it when we had to pave that road.
So for the public record, you're saying that this development is not viable with paving the road?
Yes.
Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have any, Chairman.
I do not, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I have a...
Yes.
For the public record, I don't want to say it's not viable, but it's certainly going to cause quite a hardship, and we may not go... We'll be able to go as further as quickly as we'd like to, if at all. So I guess I shouldn't close that door by saying, yes, I was wrong. I think it's just going to complicate things a great deal, and we could keep it a lot simpler and move forward a lot easier if we had that deed restriction.
So you personally would have no qualms with living at the base of a road that you would have to drive every day that has a 10% grade in good weather and bad.
Yeah, I would. It wouldn't bother me. I'm a farmer, not a developer, so.
Okay. All right, any other questions?
I don't have any, Chairman.
Okay, all right.
One other thing, Chairman, to answer your question, I think that there's a trade-off there for people to live out in the country a little bit. There's going to be a little different situation. If they want to have a couple of chickens and a dog or two, they got a couple acres to do so. Maybe a flat paved road in a subdivision, a small subdivision with a quarter acre lot, but you're just a trade-off, right? So it's kind of where we're coming from, that the trade-off is a little better living situation, a little more country living, but there are some things you're going to have to give up, like a paved road, anonymity. So.
All right. Thanks for your opinion. Anything else?
I'm good, Chairman.
Not right now, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So we'll take an opportunity then to hear in opposition. So Terrell McHenry, come up and have a seat in front of the microphone and state your name and address, please.
My name is Terrell Odell McHenry. I live at 16500 Goodson Road, Caldwell, Idaho.
Okay. Thank you. So you'll have 3 minutes, or if we have questions, you can sit a little longer.
Sure. I remember when Mr. Rumsey came to my house, and he wanted to talk about this, and I'm like, well, just write me a letter of intent, and which he did, okay? And in the beginning, it seems, this has been years ago, it was going to be one house per 4 acres or 4.5 acres. Now they've cut it down to 2, okay? And the countryside out there, which is gorgeous, is just being decimated by overpopulation and development. I go to work every morning at like 2:30 in the morning, and you drive down Goodson Road, and you look up on that hill, which used to be pitch dark and have herds of deer, is nothing but light strings and porch lights and everything else out there. It's just hideous to look at. And then when I go down and I drive down Farmway to get to Old 30, it's even worse. And I'm very concerned about overpopulation, destruction of habitat. I don't like that my herd of deer left. I love living in the country, but it's no longer the country out there. It's very developed compared to what it was when I moved here more than 12 years ago. It's even happening on my own road. And I don't know why he's got to develop all that. I mean, it's so important. He can build the houses on the bank of the Nile. There's no reason to develop that. It could have trees on it or something. But overpopulation, a whole bunch of more wells, is just ridiculous. And granted, it'll probably make him rich, but it is going to destroy the environment and the quality of life. And I'm very opposed to that. We've got too much of it as it is. So that's really what I wanted to talk about.
Okay.
I don't know how far along you guys are with this. I probably missed a couple of these because of work or something. But, yeah, this has been going on. I thought he was gone because we heard nothing for like 2 or 3 years after the letter. And then as soon as I threw the letter away, this popped up again. I'm like, crap, I just threw it away, and I'm not kind of like to read over it. So I don't know what his deal is, but I'm very much against any more development out there. That's all I have to say.
Okay. Questions?
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you very much.
Yes, appreciate you being here.
Okay. All right, so how this goes, when it's a full room, this makes sense. When it's a small amount of people, it doesn't make as much sense, but you have an opportunity for rebuttal, so you can come up and you have 5 minutes and you can share your other thoughts.
To address his concerns, all the traffic is on Monarch. It's not on Goodson. He lives on an entirely different road that's half a mile away, half a mile farther south of Monarch. So for our egress and ingress, all the traffic will go up to Monarch, and then from there, it's, you know, obviously spread out. Now, I don't know, and Goodson dead ends there, and there's going to be no traffic on Goodson whatsoever. As far as the lights go, and I can't speak for the deer, but I don't know what houses he's talking about. Farmway is quite a long ways away from what our proposal, or this piece of this plot is. This plot's a long ways from Farmway, so I don't know how lights or traffic on Farmway is really a reflection on what we're doing here. It's unlikely that seven houses are going to make a whole lot of difference in the lighting situation that he's talking about at 2 a.m. in the morning. So I don't know if I addressed all of his concerns, but that's all I got.
Okay. Any other questions?
I don't have any, Chairman.
I don't either, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Staff, had we had any late exhibits we'd need to consider or take care of?
Chairman, we did not have any late exhibits. Thank you.
Okay. Perfect. All right. Is there any other questions that you might have thought of before we consider closing public testimony?
I don't have any, Chairman.
No, Mr. Chairman.
Neither for myself. So I'll make a motion that we close public testimony.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous. At this time, the board will begin deliberation. Decisions by the board should be based on the staff report, testimony, and exhibits we have received today, including the findings, conclusions, and order prepared by staff. Does the board have any changes we would like to make to the recommended, or do we need to deliberate? And I think we probably need to deliberate. So let's open that for this time.
Chairman.
Yes.
And I would have a difficult time varying from the conditions of approval that the planning and zoning, we at no fault of the applicant, but are faced with a crossroads where we're trying to look at the long-range planning for Canyon County. I'm somewhat familiar with this area that the applicant is discussing. Goodson is rural by nature, and my experience in my own area with people who don't have public roads but private roads, and they deteriorate over time. Having this road system inconsistent with the access point, I don't think is advantageous to the people that would buy there. Your statements regarding a slope, I think it necessitates having that kept in place. I would be not in favor of him leaving that as a gravel road. And part of good development is that there's an ability to fund the what's recommended and required to make this in the future. So that's what we're looking at, is the future of what this road looks like and the serviceability and all those factors. This is still Idaho. We still have seasons. We still have winter, all of that. To ask people in the future, it is difficult to do. And because we have humans working in a capacity that do a great job, but to staff's point that's on the record, those sometimes get missed when this is not conditioned. And that is a disservice to everyone. It does come back to bite us significantly. So I am not in favor of approving this without staff's planning and zoning's recommendation. And I didn't see for Deb, one of the condition 8 on the condition of approval staff report, page 3, was there a map provided? Did I just miss it, where there's no build areas highlighted somewhere on the submitted preliminary plat?
Chairman, Commissioner Van Beek, they're in the existing lateral ditch, so not likely to be built on anyway, but they are in they are shown as a hatched area within that ditch along the east boundary of the development.
Thank you for that. Chairman, the other thing that I heard staff say clearly was because we don't have a development agreement that we're looking at this based on the entitlements. And in my mind, there is some question about whether or not this is entitled for 14 homes on 7 lots or 7 homes on 7 lots. That there's a question mark in my mind about how that will play out in the future. And if it's going straight on entitlements and we know we're going to hit that average daily trip, it is so problematic for people to try and figure out how to pave a road.
Okay. I think that I'm frustrated because I've had so many complaints about the 11th lot that I'm not interested in any way approving anything that goes down that nightmare again. So I'm frustrated with that. It was approved in 2022, so we didn't have anything to do with it, but I assume that the change of zoning, right?
The zoning is rural residential, yeah. Yes.
So without restrictions, and it's on, whenever you have the elevation lines this tight together, you have drainage issues. How in the world it's even in a concept to have a drain culvert and a supply water irrigation water culvert under each and every lot entry. It's like, why wouldn't you do a small scale pressurized irrigation? I just see that as a future nightmare to be approved to be a headache. So,
Mr. Chairman, can I butt in on that?
Yes.
Okay, so reading the letter from the applicant, you said they were going to petition the irrigation district to relinquish the water rights. So I'm kind of confused with the plan having to have multiple culverts if we're not going to have water going to the lots. Am I reading this properly?
Chairman, commissioners, the applicant has had ample time to work with the district to relinquish those rights and has not done so. So therefore, he had to have the irrigation plan in place. They chose to have it as an open surface ditch versus a pressurized irrigation plan, piped. It certainly challenges both ways. Certainly lends itself because of the accesses and how each lot has to be provided water, lends itself to a different system. But that is not what was proposed, and this plat complies minimally with the state statute and the Canyon County Code for irrigation.
Okay, so I don't know how in the Sam Hill that it complied, because just doing the gross map on the profile, you start down at 2490 and a half, and the road starts up at 2518.9 from my gross accumulation of numbers here. So I have an elevation change for irrigation water delivery of what? Let me do the math. 20, just under, just over 28 feet on an open ditch. Seriously. Unless he runs it a different direction than the proposed road. Am I reading something incorrectly?
That is also the challenge with this property being agricultural.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. It's also why I encouraged him to relinquish the rights. Not using them. Whether these other property owners could use them or not, I don't know. It's challenging. It's challenging to think that each individual lot owner will be able to utilize the irrigation well.
Chairman?
Yeah.
Mark Twain probably said it the best, whiskey's for drinking, water's for fighting. So on a delivery system with a slope like that on expecting gravity, your point's well taken. On a larger lot where Idaho code, whatever that is, that allows a watering for a half acre lot, you can't do that if you don't have a water right. Well, I guess you get some limited, but in this area, you would most likely exceed a half acre allotment of water for that. And given the soil conditions, I'm sympathetic to what it is out there, but Chairman, there has to be a better design. This is a what was stated as minimally compliant. I think that the board is interested in having developers present the commission and the Planning and Zoning Commission with developments that are futureful for Canyon County. I am acutely aware of my first bid for this seat that where someone used their entitlements as administrative splits and divided up, did not have any planning. It is a very unattractive, undesirable, untimely.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
BCID signed the final plat? They do not. They do not. Okay. Well, that answers that question.
So they had, I'm looking at,
Go ahead. Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'm just kind of confused why gravity irrigation is proposed in this, because the applicant states in their letter that you can't even farm it. I mean, from the aerial, you can see that it's not being farmed, so. And then to propose that the water rights are going to be relinquished in the letter of intent and then have proposed gravity, like, that's not going to happen. So I don't know what to do with that, because my opinion is that seven houses out here is a better use than growing tumbleweeds, you know, next to the freeway. I'm just really confused by the actual substance of the application.
Chairman.
In some aspects.
If I may. There is the potential for you to place a condition that either a pressurized irrigation system be provided prior to submission of the final plat, and or that proof of relinquishing the water rights to the properties, selling it, essentially giving it back to Black Canyon Irrigation. The development to the north is also not irrigated, and they are on, as indicated, large lot, dry lots. So this commission can add a condition that irrigation plan be provided prior to any signatures on the final, or the board signing the final plat, and be reviewed as such, or relinquishing those water rights, which currently they're being sold to farmers downstream now.
I see.
So, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So you're saying on Monarch and whatever that is, Swallowtail?
And Butterfly Ridge subdivision.
Okay, so from the couple of lots I can see there, basically they have enough water to water the grass out of the well.
From a well.
Mm-hmm. From the well. And then everything else is dry around it. and some people want that. So, I guess getting right to it, Mr. Chairman, I would be okay with buying into what staff has presented as far as whatever they feel comfortable with to make it to where 7 residences tops would be on this. And if it's gravel, I'm okay with that, because in the end, the people are going to have to choose whether or not they want to live there and deal with the gravel. If they don't want to be there because it's not paved, then they'll go buy it somewhere else. I could live with the giving people the free agency to choose whether or not they live there. And then I would be okay with a condition for pressurized irrigation or whatever else to match what these other ones are. But as currently presented, like, I couldn't, because it doesn't make any sense. It's not gonna happen this way. And I think it's fair that the applicant knows that.
Right.
So I kind of wish the applicant's representative was here so I could grill him a little bit on.
There is also the possibility to table it until he has a plan available.
Well, that would be more fair. He wouldn't have to go through all of the hearing procedures. And so I'm deeply confused. In my world, there isn't an encroachment on an irrigation lateral easement. How does that live simultaneously?
Chairman, what's your exhibit number?
I don't have an exhibit number. It's under Exhibit B. It's like the second or third page.
Okay, thanks.
At the cul-de-sac.
So it's a cul-de-sac, yeah, and it encroaches on lots 2 and 3 to do the legal setback of the cul-de-sac. I'm confused how that's even a presentable plan to go through. Am I looking at that incorrectly?
Chairman, Black Canyon Irrigation requested that they move the road off of the lateral easement, which they did. There is an overlap of the shoulder and the easement. I believe Black Canyon addresses that a bit in their letter. What has to happen there is that they do have to have a crossing agreement, basically a license agreement with Black Canyon and the Bureau of Reclamation to access Lot 5 at all across that easement. So the actual pipe is not under the road or in the road easement. The two easements just overlap a bit there, in which the road may still have to adjust a bit. I think that if you look at the exhibit, the next page of that exhibit kind of shows it more clearly that yes, there's some irrigation, the drainage in that, which would be in that, within those two easements, but not, the easements are actually just touching.
My page shows that they've over encroached. They've gone into the 60-foot easement of the irrigation.
Yeah.
And without a letter from Black Canyon expressly saying they have our full and endorsed permission to do that, it seems to me that whoever drew this up, Skinner Land Surveying,
Mr. Chairman, where are you saying they are?
They're encroaching right here. This, see, they go, they're there's the line right there. They're coming clear up inside there. So if you agree to do it on one, you're going to agree to do it everywhere.
And Chairman, you could use that device there and put that on the screen so everyone can see what you're pointing.
First time for everything.
Right.
We get to use the device. I don't even know which side's up. All right, but okay. My screen isn't showing. Okay, so right there, you have this easement is clear in to that easement. So you, the dark blue is Black Canyon, and this is the proposed full right-of-way of a cul-de-sac turnaround. So legally, they don't have it.
Right.
So what I'm saying is, it's not detailed right. It's flawed, and if I want to agree to a flawed detail, then I'm going to have to agree to a flawed detail in other applications and not wanting to go there.
I'm very supportive of what you're saying, Chairman.
So.
And Chairman, in the interest of what we're trying to do to approve, to your point, just good development that meets standards that we want to see built in Canyon County. There are so many things with this. The double culverts. We've replaced a culvert on a road that we live on. They are problematic. Double culverts collect trash. And so
Deb, you have something to say?
Chairman, I would request that we table this and let's get the things that you want fixed. Black Canyon's letter does indicate that 7/19/24, Exhibit 1, Black Canyon an acceptable revised preliminary plat. A copy has been attached to this response, which is the same copy that you have. The district is in concurrence with moving this development forward, concurs with the attached preliminary plat. Prior to the final plat, several items identified below are still required. No further action required for this specific item. So there, either not zooming in on that, I don't know, or we should verify for sure that they're understanding that there's an encroachment.
Yeah. Okay. And Chairman, I would submit too that they are not the final decision or governing body on the approval of this. They've provided input, but to your point, it looks like they have missed something on this presentation, and that we'll put that in the parking lot. But also, Chairman, I would not go forward without it. We still haven't addressed the paving. Planning and zoning is the recommended body to the board, and they've recommended paving, and I would support that.
Mr. Chairman, was their recommendation based off the 14, though?
It is. It is based off of the 14. But until I'm not clear that we have a clear and concise way. Maybe that's what we can hand back to staff. Is there a clear and concise way that you can convince me that 5 years from now, when we're all gone and somebody wants to come in with an accessory dwelling unit, they'll go, no, the developer agreed to that limitation. My problem is this. That I am not interested in approving a 10% grade road in gravel. I don't care if you want the country experience. I don't live in the hick sticks, and I'm not interested in developments. That gravel will be washboard very quickly with use, and I just don't want to attached to my name.
And that's where I'm at, Chairman.
Be paved or it doesn't exist.
Correct.
If it doesn't make it viable, I have to be concerned about long-term public safety and viability. And I know from my personal experience, you get much above an 8% slope. You get a much above a 7% slope that has use in a washboard instantly. So it for me, just to be in frank, it's a non-starter for me to allow that to be gravel.
And that's where I'm at, too.
So you could disagree. It's fine with me.
No, it's fine, Mr. Chairman. I am curious on the tabling so this stuff can get figured out.
Well, I like that concept. I'm willing to table it to see if the applicant could work with DSD to fill in these issues, and then we could reconvene once we have that. My suggestion, Carl, do you suggest 45 days to 90 days? I don't know a number that's fair. I don't want to make it too soon for the applicant, and I don't want to make it too far out either.
Chairman, while he's contemplating that, I'm assuming that your allowance in there would include the applicant coming back with agreement to pave. Yes?
Well, he's on notice that that's my position.
Okay.
We haven't made a decision, but for me, it's a non-starter. It's either paved or isn't, and that's why I asked him during his testimony, are you on public record? And he backed off of that, and he said it makes it less better. Let's use those vague terminology. So he has to go back, and he has to sharpen his pencil, and he has to figure out, does this make sense for me under that situation?
And, Chairman, I would not be interested in hearing this again unless the resources were there to provide the infrastructure that's going to carry that into the future.
Yeah, okay. Because it does bother me. I guess if it's paved and the ADUs or the accessory dwelling units, I don't know that I have an opinion one way or the other, but I just really do on the paving.
Mm-hmm.
It's at the end of the road, so knock yourselves out if you want to live in a stack and pack out in the country. That's again those choices of what you want to choose to do. Back to Carl on the timing.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. So in terms of timeline, I'm hearing three things that the board would like the applicant to either address with their representative and surveyor and or DSD staff. So those three things are paving of the road and the options available there. Some of those are previously addressed in pages 1 and 2 of the staff report. We can explore the option for development agreements further beyond the rezone, if that's an option for the plat or not. We can work with the county's legal counsel on that. Number 2 is the encroachment of the turnaround into Black Canyon Irrigation District's easement there. The applicant would need to work with Black Canyon Irrigation District to prove that up and ensure that it's met, that it's outside of that easement. And the third would be the exploration of either a pressurized irrigation system or relinquishment of the water right, et cetera. Have I missed anything, or would you like more detail added to that?
Okay. So you're technically correct, right? But where I'm at is we have a water problem out there, mm-hmm. So I am not interested in knowingly giving up irrigation rights on these lots and telling them to pump themselves silly on their domestic oil. Not when I have irrigation water available. So that's where I would be philosophically. I have problems with.
Yes, I agree. I'm in support. And,
I mean, this has some steep sides and all of that. I get that, but I'm sensitive about the domestic wells sucking up the aquifer. So am I wrong, or you got a different point?
No, I agree. I'm kind of confused. Well, I'm questioning why we would table it rather than just approve it the way we want it to look like. And if it doesn't work, then, or is it still that one thing that you pointed out about the easement? We couldn't approve it regardless.
Yeah, I would not choose to knowingly approve it.
Okay.
Not without an well, I don't even know that I'm interested in approving it, even with an explicit letter from Black Canyon pointing it out and saying, even though it over encroaches into our easement, we're okay with that.
They need to move the road.
Right.
And what they did.
Carl, were you going to say something?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the commission. My only two comments at this point would be if there are any other items that the commission is desirous of that the applicant or that are outstanding related to this application, if there are any elements of deliberation to include, we might explore that. Otherwise, we can come back before you. In terms of timeline, I would actually recommend continuing it to a date uncertain. That the applicant reach out to staff within 90 days. Some of these things may take some time to acquire. Hopefully 90 days would be enough time,
okay.
But it may not be.
Okay. And that's why we would continue instead of decide the date.
Continuance, in my opinion, is better than just no.
Yeah. So. Well, it's frustrating for the applicant to have to go through the whole public hearing process and everything else to get to here. So, okay, I would make a motion then that we continue this for staff to receive additional information on the three areas of concern that's been previously delineated by Carl on the record, and that we will continue it to a date uncertain, noting that it is our expectation that the applicant check in with DSD within 45 days to make an update to DSD where we're at. So if he does get the information, we can quickly get it, because quick is a misnomer. But in the planning world, we could quickly get it on the agenda for another meeting. So that's my motion.
Chairman, I was going to say before we second, and I heard four things, not three, so I want to make sure that we're on the same page.
Okay.
Paving is development agreement and option, the encroachment of the BCID easement, and exploring pressurized irrigation. I heard four, but I there's a conflict, so.
They're reasonably sure that a developer's agreement may not be practical in this, but I'm willing to amend my motion to a motion. I'm willing to amend my motion that it would include asking legal about a developer's agreement. Okay.
And that was included in what Carl said, so I think maybe you lumped those together, but I just wanted to make sure that all Carl had all what he needed outlined. So.
Excellent. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Commissioner Van Beek. I believe we're on the same page.
Okay. I think so, too.
I second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimous. All right. So we will be adjourned. Thank you.